papers, both here in Ireland, I would imagine the UK, and possibly all over the world, is talking about Jessica Biel and Justin Timberlake, who settled their case against Heat magazine in Irish courts, of all places, after an article was published claiming that Justin was flirting with other women in a club in Paris. And their solicitor is a man called Paul Tweed. You might have seen him on the news there on last night. He often features outside courtrooms when it comes to high-profile and, indeed, celebrity cases. And he has dealt with such cases and celebrities who have been flocking to Irish courts to settle disputes. And we were, as I was saying, I was reading the papers there wondering, why are they coming to Ireland to deal with these things? Paul is a mediator and a media lawyer, and he specialises in defamation and privacy, piracy, and what are called IP issues, including international mediation and arbitration for a range of clients worldwide. And down through the years, he's worked with Britney Spears and Jennifer Lopez and Reese Witherspoon, Louis Walsh, Sean Dunn, George Best. So he's the go-to guy when it comes to a big case like that. And he's on the line now. Paul Tweed, good morning to you.
Good morning, Ryan. How are you?
Very well. Thanks for taking our call this morning. Appreciate it.
No problem.
So you featured on our news bulletin last night. I was looking at you and I was thinking, I keep seeing that man popping up whenever there's a big case featuring the big names. How are you associated with such cases, Paul?
Well, I've been doing media work for over 30 years now, Ryan, and I've been through quite a few battles.
Yes,
over the decades. And it's the high-profile individuals. Whenever we're acting for an international personality, it tends to make the news headlines.
Yeah.
The vast bulk of my work would be for journalists, politicians, and entrepreneurs, local people. So it's just the international work probably is significant in that you have somebody who is not habitually resident in Ireland bringing a case, and then that intends to attract attention just for that fact alone.
We'll allow you to blow your own trumpet in answer to the next question, which is, why you?
I've absolutely no idea at all. I'm trying to be honest with you. If it wasn't me for a few months and had a bit of time off, I'd be quite happy. But
yeah.
Well, we've been doing these cases for quite a while now, and in many ways, it's probably been a natural development over the years. You do one or two and maybe get a reasonably good result, and others follow through. But at the end of the day, in all these cases, the court is the ultimate arbiter.
Yes.
I mean, I just try to put the ball in as best I can for my client, and hope that we can persuade the court to support our view.
Well, clearly you've the track record. Did it begin in terms of the high profile names, Paul? Did it begin with Liam Neeson then in the late 90s?
Probably the international work began, yes, with Liam Neeson and Jimmy Binns, who was a Philadelphia lawyer who acted for the likes of Kevin Costner and Sylvester Stallone. But probably from my point of view, it originally started back in 1986 when we were acting for a couple of senior lawyers who were accused of fighting over a cake in a local bun shop. And that became a sort of a fairly well-known case. It was against the Sunday World, ran for a number of weeks, and they were both awarded £50,000 each, which was quite a lot of money in the mid-80s.
Sure.
And that sort of started me off on that the trend of media law.
So back to Liam Neeson then, he sued several newspapers for running false stories about his marriage, and
that's
where you came in. I presume you won all of those.
Yes, we did indeed.
And what was that, a settlement for damages? Or?
Yes, well, Liam donated all his damages to the OMA Fund at the time.
Really?
And so the fund was the beneficiary, so he never sought to gain financially for himself. Mm. That would be the case with most of the Hollywood personalities. I mean, they want to get their reputation vindicated quickly, and the big difficulty they've got in the era of the internet.
Yes.
If somebody makes up a story, it goes from Dublin to Singapore, to LA within a matter of 6 or 7 seconds. And so what we do, and I sort of maybe started this off about 10 or 12 years ago, we found that if we can get an apology in the High Court in Dublin, it's just as effective as getting an apology in the High Court in London, because it can be publicised back down the internet in the same direction, in the reverse direction from where it originally was published. And it means that, you know, the apology is just as effective, sets a record straight, and, you know, they can get back on with their life and with their reputations vindicated, you know, just as quickly as the offending article undermined them.
So, as you say, a lot of these very high-profile names like Britney Spears, J-Lo, Harrison Ford, Nicolas Cage, and as we've just been talking about, Liam Neeson, they don't want any more money. It's not greed, but they will happily take the money from the publication with the view to making a point and then putting the money to a cause that will be very happy to take it.
That's correct. And also, I mean, you know, we have found that, you know, no matter how nicely you ask a tabloid, you know, if they wouldn't mind setting the record straight, invariably they're not that keen to do it unless there's a bit of an incentive in terms of a threat of a damages award. So, you know, we often have to indicate that, look, if you don't apologise, if you don't do the right thing immediately, then you're going to be face the risk of having a very substantial damages award against you, and that tends to encourage quicker cooperation than the, you know, the holding, simply holding your hand out.
How did you end up with Britney Spears, Paul? I can't recall that case.
That was going back about 8 or 10 years, and there were allegations made about her marriage actually at that time, and unfortunately things turned out not so well for her on that front sometime after we had resolved the cases. But again, this was the National Enquirer published a false story at the time, and they had just brought out a European edition. It was up until that point their distribution was restricted to the United States, where there was First Amendment protection, and it's virtually impossible to sue for defamation over there and outside of the Atlantic. So because they were distributing in Ireland, we were able to take legal action in Ireland. But to be fair to them, they, you know, realised that the story was totally false, and they agreed to apologise, and we were able then to get that apology published back down the internet. And that was one of the first cases we did of sort of what you would call internet libel, if you like. Yeah. And we were able to get the vindication that way.
I'm intrigued about that, because I've often said that to me the internet has this feel of the Wild West, that it's actually so unpoliceable. I'm sure you must be in this zone as well to an extent. And I was wondering, you know, the things people say and, you know, the trolling and all that, which has become a little bit boring in the sense that if you don't want it, just don't be there. But if it is people threatening physical or sexual violence towards somebody, or spreading a rumour, have people recourse to justice?
It's very, very difficult, certainly in Ireland in particular, where there are limited harassment laws. The UK is slightly better, but I would say probably 80% of our work relates to online either libel, abuse, threats, or whatever. It's a very, very difficult problem. It is, as you say, the Wild West. That's as good a description as any. We can only do so much. I mean, we try, if in the more serious cases, you know, we would try to involve the Gardaí. We would try to use the criminal courts as a dual sanction in tandem with any civil remedies we would have in terms of a restraining injunction. But if you've got some, you know, guy who's sitting in Reykjavik and decides to have a go at, you know, some famous individual, there's not an awful lot you can do in the short term. And, you know, again, taking it a stage further, the recent problems that Jennifer Lawrence and a number of our other clients actually have faced here.
Nude photographs.
Photographs being done. You know, the big trouble is, and I think the advice that's been given in the press is the right advice, you know, if you don't want it out there, don't do it, you know, just keep the photos, restrict the photographs to sandcastles on the beach or whatever. Because otherwise, unfortunately, there is no really effective means of dealing with it quickly. We can go down the de-optimization route, where there are various companies there who will try and suppress the material and put it into the internet universe, but it's still there. You never can kill it completely.
Well, that's the thing. It reminds me of that wonderful play and film with Philip Seymour Hoffman talking about rumours, and how that it was like a pillowcase with feathers, and once the first feather leaves that pillowcase, you can't chase the wind to get it back.
Yeah, that's a very good analogy, and that applies very much, you know, to the online world at the moment. And the difficulty, you know, we have had is that there is a tendency among the ISPs, the internet service providers, to base themselves in the United States, where they have additional protection, which is much more difficult to even, you know, deal with abuse and libelous comments, you know, through the courts. So, you know, we've got that hurdle as well to meet. So at least in Ireland, you know, there is legislation and there is a common law to protect you up to a point, providing you can enforce.
Let's go quickly then to the case that was settled yesterday. Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel, the headlines in the Heat magazine about Justin Timberlake gets flirty with another woman, it's not his wife, and there's talk of made-up quotes. So I'm sure you saw this as an open and shut case, and nothing's that simple, but I'm sure just to kind of nutshell it for a moment, Paul, how did Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel from the United States of America end up dealing with a magazine that was based in Germany and fighting it out in a court in Dublin?
Well, there are two fundamental criteria that any plaintiff has to establish to bring a defamation case in the High Court in Dublin. One, they have to prove and establish that they have a reputation in Ireland. Oh. Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel are international personalities, and most of the Irish population will certainly have heard of them, so yeah. We have no difficulty establishing that they've got a reputation. Their reputation is just as strong in Ireland as it would be in England. Secondly, they've got to establish that there was distribution, that there was publication of the offending material within the jurisdiction of Ireland. In this case, Heat magazine, if you'd gone to do your shopping in any of the supermarkets, you'd have seen it in the front page. So it was very widely disseminated, and likewise, proportionately, the dissemination of Heat magazine in Ireland is just the same as it is in England. So I operate out of Belfast, Dublin and London, and I have to decide for my clients what is the best and most convenient jurisdiction for them, and possibly for me as well. And so Dublin was for us the appropriate one, and that's the one we followed through, and we have filed claims in the High Court in all three jurisdictions, again depending on what is appropriate for the client at a particular time. Our concern here was to get the record set straight as soon as possible, just for the reasons I'd outlined earlier. Once we get the apology read before the court, for the High Court in Dublin, well then that can be disseminated by the media back down the internet in a way it's come up. So, and it was one of probably in my certainly experience one of the quickest libel settlements that in my recent memory.
Was it a financial settlement?
I can't go into any detail. It was my clients insisted that a strict confidentiality on all other terms, and so I'm afraid I can't discuss that.
And would you have had dealings with Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel in the course of this, in terms of consultation as a solicitor? Obviously, you'd have to. Would you sit down and talk to them, or is it all by phone or Skype?
It has to all be by phone, either directly with them or through their representatives. I mean, they have U.S. attorneys and advisors there as well, but you know, they would be very hands on themselves.
And would they have been given an indication as to how they felt about the settlement then?
Again, you know, I'm under strict instruction.
Okay, you can't say that they were thrilled with the result. But what's intriguing, I suppose, Paul, before we let you go, is the fact that here we have a scenario whereby people, whether they're in internet or magazines, let's go with the internet for the moment, are punching down and trying to annoy people or spread a rumour, and then you're hired to literally to meet that challenge and punch it back up to where it belongs.
Correct. That's it, and that's a challenge, and it is a very big challenge in the current climate.
Somebody wants to know, when you read magazines, why are some kids' faces blurred out and others aren't? Does that make sense?
Yeah, because children have a right to privacy. I mean, unless the parents have given permission for them to be photographed, they should all be pixelated.
Okay, and that is only right, if ever I've heard it. Okay, well, look, we will leave it there, Paul. I really appreciate you taking that call, because I was intrigued to know a bit more about you. And where do you call home, by the way? You mentioned three jurisdictions there. Where's the house with the blanket and the slippers?
Yeah, probably one of the service stations on the road between Belfast and Dublin, where I spend most of my time.
So you haven't had a decent cup of coffee for 15 years?
No.
Listen, Paul, good luck with everything, and thanks for your time today.
My pleasure, Ryan.
All the best. Thank you very much. It's Paul Tweed, a solicitor there, I thought that was intriguing, I have to say, just as an insight into that world and what is defensible and indefensible, and where the celebrities, as they say, can go. But clearly a man in demand, and clearly a man in command of his brief and his area of legal expertise, and a man who is wanted and demanded by a lot of the most high-profile actors of our time. Intriguing individual, I must say.